97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for downloading this week's podcast. Joining us this week is our good friend, State Representative Nick Schroer. If you missed the radio show this week, please go back and download that podcast as well. We had a chance to talk with Representative Schroer a little bit on the show about some things that are happening both nationally and then statewide here with the Second Amendment. We're going to continue that conversation in this podcast now. We also, of course, talked to our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, and we talked to Hank Hedges from the Farmers Co-op Old Town Country Store in St. Peter. So if, just remember that we always put out two podcasts this show every week. So if you're downloading this one and you're hearing it already, you may as well download the other one as well. And we certainly appreciate you for doing so. And we appreciate Nick Schroer for sticking around. Representative Schroer, thanks again for putting a little extra time in with us this week.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite topics, the Second Amendment. So thank you guys for doing all you can at getting the voice of common sense out there in an era where we hear that the Democrats aren't coming for our guns, but then we see their plans either on Joe Biden's website or what they filed in Congress to state otherwise. So thank you guys for all that you do.
You bet. And to kind of pick up where we left off the conversation on the show this week, a point that Bo was making, and then I referenced this poll that was recently done that said that 57% of Americans are for, quote, stricter gun laws. Very vague. But that number, you know, it may seem high to you, but, it just depends on what your there's certain gun reform, gun laws that even I would support, but I'm not, what I would think of as maybe a common sense thing would be very different than somebody else would. So keep that in mind when you're looking at this number that says 57% of Americans would be for stricter gun laws. But that number also continues to drop. And it's at a 4-year low right now, and coming off of the year that we have just seen where there is a record number of first-time gun owners, I think that President Biden and the Democrats realize that a lot of people that are exercising their Second Amendment rights right now it's not all Republicans, it's Democrats. And as more and more people across the country realize that they want to take advantage of their Second Amendment rights to protect themselves and their families, it's going to be harder and harder for them to push forward their agenda. So my fear is that they're going to try to strike quickly and immediately to, while they still have a little bit maybe of a majority of the country on their side. I think that is going away quickly. And, if they're going to continue to talk about how they want to bring everybody together and they're working for the majority of Americans and their best interests, Americans in record numbers are speaking about the Second Amendment and protecting it is their best interest. And that's got to be bad news for the Democrats.
Well, Tony, I think that the reason why we're seeing a decline in the push for gun control or stricter gun laws from the American people is because we've been told for so long it's gun sense, quote unquote, gun sense. We're going after common sense gun reforms. We're not coming after your AR-15s, your AK-47s. But when we saw what the Democrats truly felt, when we heard what they truly felt, by, in the words of Robert Beto O'Rourke, the career campaigner down in Texas, the second place guy, we finally saw the curtain was pulled back. You could see that, yes, their ultimate plan is to bankrupt the NRA, to come after the NRA's core, and that's Americans, that's Missourians, and that we are going to come after AK-47 and AR-15. Why? Because they're scary, because we want control. We saw the Democrats kind of stifle that and say, oh, don't say that. We're not coming for your guns. But yes, they are. It was right on Joe Biden's own website. We've seen it in Congress, like I stated on the show. If you haven't heard it, go pull it back up on radio.com. But we've stated with H.R. 127 and other bills that have been filed this year under the Biden administration, all it's going to take is to shove it down the American people's throats, get it signed by President Biden, and we're all screwed. And that's why here in the state of Missouri, we're trying to put up a red wall of freedom supporting and preserving the Second Amendment. And that's why it's so important that we are having shows like this and discussions like this to get this to the forefront so more Americans who are jumping on podcasts, doing their own digging, doing their own research, they can actually see, yes, we are. The Second Amendment is dangling by a thread. And if they want to shove it down our throats and do it very quickly, strike when the iron's hot, I think it's going to have terrible, terrible effects for the Democrats when it comes to 2022, right after a census year when states like Illinois, New York, California are at risk of losing congressional seats.
And I'd like to interject here the fact that, you know, we have these strict gun laws in some of these states, and the laws have not reduced the crime. Right. I would almost bet, Tony, that with your polling information you have, which is very general, that, yes, people, 50%, the majority do want stricter gun laws for the criminals, for the gangbangers,
exactly,
for the people in the inner city. But then they're getting wind that, oh, but that's going to affect my, you know, rights to have a gun. Well, that's going to be a problem, because all we're going to be doing is making more people defenseless and vulnerable, because the bad guys will always be able to get. And if they can't get the guns, guess what? They're going to get a sword, or they're going to get a knife, or they're going to get a rock.
Yeah,
you've seen it in the UK. You're going to outlaw all that?
Hmm. Go ahead, Nick.
Sorry,
no, I was going to say, we've seen that in the UK. You see it in Australia, yeah. UK, in countries that take away one tool for the general public to use to defend themselves. The criminals are going to do what they do best, and that's break the law. We've seen it in the war on drugs, a failed war on drugs. You can't just blanketly say, we're going to outlaw all of this and expect it to go away. We've seen it with murder, with child abuse. Yes, that's why we have laws to deter these bad acts, but you're always going to have bad actors. And so many times, I love the armed citizen from the Second Amendment, the National Rifle Association has in all of their magazines, which, you know, you get the different memberships, you get different magazines, but all of them have the armed citizen in there. And it reflects stories that the mass media is not covering. But these are stories of everyday Americans, law-abiding citizens, protecting themselves or even others by the use of their legal firearms.
So, as I mentioned on the radio show this week, I'll read it again here. President Biden, as Bo pointed out, used the 3-year anniversary of the tragedy in Parkland, Florida, to initiate this push for gun reform. And the president's statement was, "Today I am calling on Congress to enact common sense gun law reforms, including requiring background checks on all gun sales, banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, and eliminating immunity for gun manufacturers who knowingly put weapons of war on our streets." There's a whole lot to unpack there, but before we go into those things specifically, I want to have, like, the SpongeBob Jacques Cousteau voice. Meanwhile, in Missouri, not only are we doing things like the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which I always call the Second Amendment Protection Act, it's Preservation Act, right? I get it wrong, and you get it right. So I gotta fix the verbiage there whenever I say it. SAPA. I should just stick with
tomato,
SAPA.
Tomato.
There you go. So meanwhile, in Missouri, as the president and the Democrats nationally have, you know, shown their hand and what they're working on, we are working on the SAPA bill, and wanted to get your thoughts on this, Nick. There's a new push by Missouri Republicans to allow conceal and carry on Metrolink.
Yeah.
Senator Bob Onder has introduced legislation that would allow concealed carry permit holders to bring firearms on Metrolink trains and Metro buses. Onder says that at worst, conceal and carry will have no impact on crime, and the majority of the time, and at best, it would reduce it. I agree with that, because what always stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Yeah.
What do you know about this bill that Senator Onder is promoting? And can you tell us about it a little bit?
Yeah, well, I've been fortunate enough to sit on the General Laws Committee the entirety of my time up here in Jefferson City. And this bill has come through the committee the past couple of years. I know a good colleague of mine, A-plus rating with the NRA, Representative Ron Hicks, has carried that. Representative Adam Schnelting is carrying that this year. And we've already heard that. It actually got some Democrat support on that bill as well. So I agree. This is a time where we need to look at keeping these people, especially in these inner cities, safe, where crime is at its highest. And the best way to do that is allow them the liberty to protect themselves in the way that they see fit. I know that there was some concern with, you know, since it's a bi-state form of transit, is it going to impact Illinois? No. When you're in Missouri, you can conceal carry if this bill passes. And we've seen predators jumping onto these the Metrolink, whether it's on the actual bus or at the stops, and they're preying upon the people. We've seen it just a couple weeks ago when there was a security officer who lost his life, a parent, a Missourian, a military member, and he lost his life because a security agency indicated they could not allow him to conceal carry. Now, this is the best form of deterrence, knowing that there may be people that have armed themselves, that may be trained, they know what they're doing. They're going to not only protect themselves, but they're going to protect other Missourians that may be preyed upon by these horrible criminals. And we've seen it, whether it's Aurora, Colorado, and theater shooting, where he picked the only location closest to him that was a gun-free zone, so to speak, rather than going to the other movie theaters that allowed guns in there. A good guy with a gun, yes, is going to stop a bad guy with a gun if given the chance. And that's why I think...
And if trained. Because when it is hitting the fan, Nick, you got to agree that if they're untrained, they're going to lose their mind. They're going to be nervous. That's why I don't understand why we don't have actual law enforcement. We have police officers in the city of St. Louis, doing secondary work at the Blues game or the Cardinals game. Why not
even at the wheelhouse at different bars and venues down there? We have them doing secondary work. But
why aren't they why aren't they on the Metrolink? Or hey, let's do the National Guard because it's getting that bad or it is that scary. Wouldn't you rather have, armed military like when you go to the airport right after 9/11? I mean, it would comfort me.
We've got business owners, and I've met the wheelhouse guys as I'm the chairman of the Committee on Small Business, dealing with the different orders, shutting them down for a year. They're back open now. But I think you finally have business owners that are smart enough to know the liability is there, and the best way to deter crime is having an officer, having somebody that's trained with a weapon on there to stop that and prevent it from ever happening. But, here in the state of Missouri, we also have a bill that I'm very passionate about. This year, it's House Bill 501, and now that the medical marijuana industry is picking up here in the state of Missouri, voters passed this overwhelmingly. Medical marijuana is here to stay, but there is the fact that the feds, especially under a Biden administration, could use that information, you even going to apply for a card or getting a card, to use that in restricting your Second Amendment rights or even altogether throwing you in a federal penitentiary for lying on the form 4473. So my bill, which should, I'm hearing, this is breaking news, I may get a hearing next week on this, and it's House Bill 501, which would protect medical marijuana cardholder information from getting into the hands of the federal government.
Yeah, I love that. I love that piece of legislation that you are working on. I know that we discussed it last session, and it wasn't able to get across the finish line last year. But I am so happy that you have continued to champion that, because I agree. That is something very important. And if you are somebody who is going through something like chemotherapy and is being prescribed marijuana by your doctor to treat all the pain and everything that comes along with that, if now somehow because of that you are not allowed to own a gun to protect your home, that's just crazy.
Well, even think about our former military members that have PTSD, and a lot of them came to the committees when I first got into office, and they've indicated, look, they're not supposed to be using it, but they are using it from friends, whether they're in Illinois, Colorado, but they're prescribed pills and medication that makes them suicidal. They can keep their guns under our laws. But if they, just so happen to get a medical marijuana card, even if they're not using it, it could put their Second Amendment at risk. It makes no sense whatsoever that hydrocodone and other bills that may impact your mental status, they're okay to take while using, and even alcohol. That you can use all of those you want and keep your Second Amendment intact. But something like medical marijuana, as long as you have that card, the feds could come in and take away your gun.
Yeah, that is ridiculous, and I'm glad that you are doing what you can to rectify that situation. Not much time left here, but I did want to get your thoughts on this. I read those things, and we could go deep in depth on all of the different things that the president touched on in his statement this week. But one of them that I find particularly interesting, and it's sort of new to in the Democrats' playbook and their strategy, and this is the idea of going after gun manufacturers and holding gun manufacturers responsible for crimes that could possibly be committed with their guns, and they're trying to, you know, outlaw different gun manufacturers from being able to make parts, or especially ones that are coming from overseas, to ban that. So they're really targeting manufacturers, which will obviously also affect jobs and so many other things, and just the craziness of, you know, like Bo, we've talked on the show before, you know, if somebody is drunk driving and they hit somebody with their Chevy truck, it's not Chevy's fault that they built the truck that this person, you know, committed a crime in. And somebody may say, well, that's not an apples to apples comparison. I think it absolutely
it's a one to one
apples to apples comparison.
This is going to be slippery slope.
Yeah.
It's going to, from a legal standpoint, charging a manufacturer of a product, if it is not, if it's being used for its intended purpose, but it's being used in the wrong way, just like a vehicle. If you get somebody that knows that they should not be using it for X reason, they're going to be using it for an illegal reason, you should not be holding the manufacturer of that product liable. And I think if this opens up and allows for, you know, lawsuits to go against the gun manufacturers, if it's being used for an illegal purpose, this is going to open up a can of worms for vehicle manufacturers and drunk driving cases, and the list goes on. So I think at the mens rea there are many different things that you would have to prove and create some new way of cause of action against these gun manufacturers that I don't think would hold up in court, especially if that rises to the Supreme Court that Trump had a hand in creating. I think if it gets up there, this type of legislation that would be signed ultimately by the Biden administration, it would take years probably, but I think ultimately it would be held unconstitutional. But it's a dangerous precedent to set, as it would open up the gates of hell for any frivolous litigation against gun manufacturers, the federal government. If you get on a wreck on their federal highways or state highways, it's just a terrible piece of legislation.
Let's just look at the picture of what we were talking about earlier. Inner city, you know, killings, black on black killings, however you want to frame that. If one of those people kill somebody with a Ruger or Smith & Wesson, so now the family can sue the gun manufacturer because this gangbanger came in and shot up the family or shot up the... It makes no sense. Nick, when did common sense leave the mind of so many elected officials? I mean, we sit back and watch the headlines and go, wow, but you've got to face these people, man. I don't even know how you keep a straight face.
Well, again, you have to peel back the onion here and see what they truly want. And when they keep saying gun sense and common sense, the president even indicated it in his press release that we need common sense reforms. Well, that's the farthest from what that is a common sense reform. I've got a piece of legislation here in the state of Missouri that would further criminalize the shooting, the negligent shooting on holidays. Like, and I know I've talked about it on the show, shooting your gun up in the air in the city, right, to celebrate, whether it's the New Year or Christmas Day, whatever
July.
You're going to celebrate, 4th of July. We've seen that that's actually resulted in people dying, but we're holding the actors accountable. We're not holding the gun manufacturers accountable. And that's the case that when this comes up in committee hearings in the state of Missouri, which it has before, I bring up that case that you guys just mentioned of holding the Chevy truck that the drunk driver got behind. There's nothing wrong with
the Ginsu knife that cut my finger off, for crying out
Absolutely.
Loud. Well, let's sue everybody.
This goes back to the common sense or anti-common sense lawsuits of, you order a hot coffee, you spill it on your crotch, and now you can sue McDonald's for $1 million because you didn't have the common sense to know that the hot coffee that you ordered might burn you.
Yeah. Your circular saw cuts your finger off because you're not paying attention. It's not Black and Decker's fault.
Okay. These same kinds of statements is kind of like women's reproductive health. That's what a liberal comes up with to make it sound nice. Yep. And we all know what it really means. So the common sense gun laws is ridiculous. It's just, right. It's maddening. Ugh.
So we're going to wrap this conversation up here, but we, Nick will be back on this show and you can hear him at various other times on the 97.1 and even on KMOX. So keep your ears open for that. And we'll talk to State Representative Nick Schroer again very, very soon. In the meantime, Nick, if people want to follow you on social media, they want to follow what you guys are working on in the legislative session in Jeff City, how can they do all of those things?
Well, you can just go to my website, nickfullrep.com. That'll link you to both of my Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, I will warn you, you can get stuck for hours. It's like TikTok for my wife. She'll just sit there and watch videos. You can just look at all the trolling that occurs by, even just indicating I'm going to file a piece of legislation designating a certain day as Rush Limbaugh Memorial Day in the state of Missouri, and the left has gone crazy. So entertain yourself with that. Or if you just go to house.mo.gov, you can see what bills are moving, what hearings are occurring. And this year is the first time ever you can actually submit testimony. You can submit testimony in house.mo.gov on pieces of legislation such as these gun bills. If you are in support or even just want to have your voice heard, feel free to go ahead and do that.
Nick, Parler's back. Do you do Parler also?
I'm on Parler. I have not heard that it's back.
It's back. They're just not accepting new people.
Oh, they're okay. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm on there, but I don't get the entertainment like I do of people that are just harassing the different legislators across the state. To me, it's entertaining. You've either got some sort of mental issue, or you're being paid to troll endlessly. Or you might need to take up knitting. You might need a new hobby.
Well, I'm going to sue the needle makers. That's what I'm going to sue.
There you go.
Poke yourself.
I poke myself, yeah.
That is Newsmaker Nick, State Rep Nick Schroer. Thanks again, my friend,
for
your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you then.
All right. That is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast exclusive. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast and for your continued support of this podcast and radio show. My name is Tony Colombo. For producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys. Man, you know how to get me fired up.
Yep. That's the idea.